We are so glad you've joined us today here on Family Talk with my dad, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson, along, of course, with Lou Ann Crane. Dad and Lou Ann, we talk about prayer a lot here at Family Talk. It is something vitally important to us, and we talk about praying for our leaders, but that's a big concept, kind of knowing how to do that and what ways to do it can bog some people down, and our leaders need it. They're away from their families. They're facing tough subjects and crises. And so I'm glad we're going to talk about that today on Family Talk.
And Doctor, of course, with your wife Shirley serving as the chairwoman for the National Day of Prayer, that's on our minds all year round. But I love the fact that any month of the year, we can sit down and better understand, what does that mean? What does that look like for praying for my congressman and my senator back in D.C.?
Well, it's such an important concept because our representatives and our senators and our president and everyone in governmental offices is desperately in need of prayer. I mean, the level of responsibility that's on them, the impact of power on them. What you said before we went on the air, Ryan, of what that does to a family. Especially when you're apart from each other. You got a family in Indiana and you're in Washington, D.C., and there's all of this stuff going on. I mean, it's all consuming, and we do need to be in prayer for the people in the positions of authority, and Timothy says so.
Sure does.
And we are called, we are demanded, Paul said, to pray for those in authority over us. And so we're going to talk about that today. Fortunately, we have a couple of long-time friends that are here with us today. At least they're long-time friends for me. I'm speaking of Ralph and Danielle Drollinger, whom I've known for 30 years, maybe?
I think at least that.
Well, I need to introduce these folks. Ralph was, I'm sorry to say, a Bruin with the UCLA basketball team. He's 7'1", and I can't believe it. I'm 6'2", and I have to crane my neck back to look him in the eye. But he loves the Lord with all his heart. Just going back to those basketball days, that's the John Wooden era
Dynasty.
When he was coach.
Dynasty, yeah. Unlike they ever had at USC.
I'm sorry, but you're right. But you went to the Final Four four times, didn't you?
Yeah, four times in a row. Not because of my athletic prowess, but because of my timing. When I was there in 72, freshmen were ruled eligible to play on the varsity team. And so
Did your team win?
We won two out of the next four national championships.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. How do you look back on that time today?
Well, it's just a great memory. Our last championship with Coach Wooden was in the San Diego Sports Arena where I grew up in San Diego. So, and that was probably my best game ever, was his final game. So great memories.
Wow. Yeah. You had NBA teams that wanted you to play with them. In fact, you played with one, didn't you?
Yeah, I actually turned down contracts for 4 years in a row to play for Athletes in Action. And by God's grace, we became one of the finest amateur teams in the whole world, representing America in many a prestigious foreign tournament and preached the gospel at the halftimes of our games worldwide for 4 years. And then I went pro with the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, let me tell you a story, Ryan and Lou Ann. You may already know this, but Pete Maravich, probably one of the top 10 basketball players of all times. Would you put him in that
range? Probably top five.
I wouldn't be surprised. He set 43 NCAA records, most of which still stand, when he was at LSU. And then he retired from basketball, and everything kind of went to pieces for him, and he was depressed, and he never really knew who he was. He was kind of a womanizer, and he was drinking a lot and got into a lot of stuff. And then the Lord got a hold of him. Well, one morning, he was in his house where he had been for 2 years with hardly going outside because people hounded him. So when he left the house and he heard his name, and it scared him, and he sat up in bed and he heard it again. And he got out of bed, got on his knees, and gave his heart to the Lord. So Pete, the last 5 years of his life, he could not go anywhere. He couldn't talk to anyone without telling them about Jesus Christ and what he had done in his life. And so he was coming out to Pasadena, California, to do a radio program with me. And I knew he was going to be there, and I did a stupid thing. I asked if he'd like to play a pickup game of basketball on that day with my friends. We played three times a week. We're just duffers, and here's one of the great players of all time. And I figured I got to have somebody to guard this dude. And so I called you, Ralph, and you were there that day, and the two of you went after each other. And we played for about 45 minutes, and it's a story often told, and so I'm not going to go into great detail. But at break time, Pete and I were standing talking, and I said, Pete, you just can't give up this game. It's meant too much to you. And he said, I know. I'm going to have to do this. I've loved it today. And I said, how much have you played? He said, I've only played one game in the last year, which was the Legends game for the NBA. And he said, I haven't been able to play. I said, why not? And he said, I haven't been well. I've got a sore shoulder, the right shoulder. If it had been on the left, somebody would have connected it with his heart. But it was on the right. And the reason is because he had a congenital malformation of the heart that nobody knew about. So he was standing talking to me. I said, how do you feel today? And he said, I feel absolutely great. And with that, he collapsed. He fell on the floor, and I thought he was kidding. And I ran over to him, and I saw that he was in a seizure, and I held his tongue, tried to keep his air passage open. And then I yelled to the guys, you were standing there, and I said, help me give CPR to him. You came over, and you pumped his chest, and I did mouth-to-mouth CPR. And that was one of the most emotional days of my life. What do you remember about it, Ralph?
Well, I remember we did that for the next half hour. The paramedics were slow in arriving, and it was just mind-boggling.
He was gone.
Yeah. And what they tell us afterwards was that he was gone when he hit the floor.
Yeah. Because his heart just quit functioning.
Yeah.
We then got in the car, and we followed the ambulance and went up to the hospital. Weren't you there in the room when we prayed over his body?
Yes, yes.
We prayed for his wife. We prayed for his kids.
Emotions come back as you say it.
Yeah. And there were media from everywhere. Within 30 minutes, we were just inundated. And that gave me an opportunity to give his message and to say basketball was not his greatest love. Jesus Christ was. You know, Bryant Gumbel got a copy of the video made that day. One of the guys that was playing set up a camera. Were you aware of that?
No.
It was showed on NBC Today Show the next morning. And Gumbel said, man, that's a bunch of duffers.
I don't think he was talking about me, was he?
Oh, sure was. Anyway, also with us today is Danielle Drollinger, and they are married, as you might have guessed, and are doing a wonderful work together. Danielle, you actually worked for Focus on the Family for a while, didn't you?
I did. I was one of your very first legislative policy people in that department.
And then you were Our Lady in Sacramento in the state capitol.
Yes, I sure was. And then you shipped me off to D.C. It's because of you that I have such a love for Capitol Hill and the federal government. You got me a job in a very prestigious committee, Children, Youth, and Families, and I did that for quite a while on the Hill.
Well, you can leave a couple of bucks on the table. Well, the Lord put a burden on you, Ralph and Danielle, to reach out to legislators and legislatures and to do what you could. And you are now in Washington, D.C., and you are working with congressmen and senators. And what an incredible work. Tell us about it.
So exciting.
Well, thank you. I think it was 14 years ago now that we started Capital Ministries in Sacramento. Danielle's idea was, I'm getting all these people elected through a political action committee, Christians. They go up there and they are away from their home and they start to lose their moorings. We need a ministry in the Capitol. Well, I've been doing that in sports ministry for 22 years, putting intentional, deliberate, biblically reliant disciple makers on high school, college, and professional teams, having been the recipient of an Athletes in Action discipler of me at UCLA. That's what really matured me in my faith.
Who was that?
His name is Chuck Laney. Oh. And Chuck mentored me when I was at UCLA and really got me through a lot of spiritual immaturity, let's put it that way. And so when Danielle said, we're losing all these guys who have this nominal Christian faith that are getting elected to office and there's no ministry in the Capitol, why don't you, since you've got 22 years of experience of planting ministries in campuses, start to plant ministries on Capitol campuses? And so that was like on our second date. And we were prearranged by some of the owners of Salem Communications. They knew Danielle. They knew me through sports ministry. They said, we think you guys make a good couple. So on our second date, we were talking about the birth of Capitol Ministries. Wow. And so we started Capitol Ministries. And then from there, we grew it to about 25 of the U.S. state capitals with the idea that someday, if we could get 50 ministries planted in 50 capitals, we'd have a farm system because 75% of the legislators in D.C. come through state capitals. And when they get to D.C., they don't have a whole lot of time to be mentored spiritually. So let's try to do it through a farm system. And maybe in the future, we can get churches to have a member go and teach the Bible at the local city or county government office building. You're talking about things to do. That's something people can do.
Absolutely.
Just go in there at noon and start to hold a Bible study. Because it's from the dog catcher position on first base or the librarian that you go to city county government on second base, and you go to the state capitol on third base. And then you got to get off of third base before the inning's over because of term limits, and you got to steal home, which is D.C. So when you get to D.C., hopefully we've had enough of evangelical capacity in the future to mentor legislators so when they get there in their career path, they're quite mature in Christ. That's our big vision. So we want to fuel a movement for Christ in our nation's capital. And we've been there now for 2 years, and last week we had, I think, 35 members out for Bible study. It was standing room only.
Now, what I want people to say, and I'm afraid this program's going to get away from us because I talked about Pete too long, tell us very quickly about the exciting thing that is happening with now 35 new evangelicals and people that love Christ have come to the House of Representatives primarily. That's almost doubled the number of people who were there before.
Yeah, there was maybe one or two evangelicals in the whole group of 535, the 100 in the Senate, the 435 in the Congress. If you talked to Dr. Halverson, say 30, 40 years ago, he would have told you that. And today, I think with the new class in, we're up to probably 60 evangelicals now holding office. And what's really interesting about this, just to analyze it for a second, is with the entitlement program runaway, there's been a pendulum swing that's risen the Tea Party. And the Tea Party is this huge voter block that's bigger than, say, our old religious right voter blocks because it's all kinds of people that are trying to elect fiscal conservatives to save the country economically. And when you elect a fiscal conservative with this big engine called the Tea Party, you typically get a social conservative, which means they're either an evangelical.
And often a Christian.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we've got this flood of new believers that have snuck in under the radar. And before, the secular media would always shoot our horses in the corral before they got out on the track. And now they've all snuck in under the radar. And through the guise of being fiscally conservative, they've rallied huge voter bases. They get elected, and they happen to be believers. And they're saying, let's fuel a movement for Christ in the nation's capital.
And you're standing there ready
the right
to
time.
Help.
That's
at
right.
At the right time
There's
by
no
God's
doubt the
grace.
Lord brought you there for this time and place.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them, we call them Mama Grizzlies. Danielle ministers to them because I don't want to be ministering to all these female legislators. It's kind of inappropriate. And so Danielle's on my side, and she does a better job than I do.
That's refreshing. And our Bible study's a pretty heavy-duty two-hour Ralph will teach a whole hour. We have dinner for him after First Votes Back, which is either Monday or Tuesday night. It's the only day of the whole week that all the members are in one building, the Capitol building, at the same time. So it's really the best time of their whole week. And we sit and have dinner together, and Ralph will teach a whole hour. And they'll stay an hour after that, asking questions and talking. So you have to be authentic to want to come to a Bible study like that. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to just show up and say hello and leave, but to really study the Word, that's what we're about.
And Ralph, you take your lessons and you print them, and you give them to anybody who wants them, but particularly those who weren't there.
Yeah, you know, their lifestyle is just so hectic. They often work 18-hour days. 70 of them sleep in their offices. Mm-hmm. And so to expect them to be consistent, we'll get 35 one week and probably another 35 the next week. Half of them are different people. Mm-hmm. And that happens week in and week out. We probably have 100 that track with our ministry. And so I hand out these Bible study notes, which I think you've seen. And, of course, people can get them if they request them and pray over our ministry notes every week. Mm-hmm. Your listeners can do that because we need prayer partners to fuel a movement for Christ. And it's those Bible study notes that if they can't make it to study, they can read and get probably a better presentation than when I'm there talking about it personally. But, of course, I can elaborate and I can pull up the footnotes.
Can you talk about how important faith is in politics, on having that foundation?
Well, with all the stuff that comes at them, especially, for instance, we were talking before we started to tape, I've done a two-week series recently on entitlements from the Scripture. What do the Scriptures have to say about entitlements? And if they don't have a visceral conviction from the Word of God as to what God says about entitlements, the pressure that's going to be on our representatives to change course on this and just kick the can down the road, which we've done for so many decades, then they're not going to be able, I think, to withstand the pressure and all that's going to face them. And so I did some 6 pages of exegesis just on that issue. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting information because I've not seen too much conservative exegetical work on that subject.
You know, I don't want to overstate this, but I think it needs to be said. The congressmen there are under constant pressure to compromise and to undermine their own marriages. Is that an overstatement? I mean, that's what I have observed and what I believe. And if you watch the media, you keep hearing of these scandals that occur.
Yeah.
Why does that occur? Because you've got a guy who is exhausted. He is working long hours. He's got this influence and this power. And his wife is maybe 1,000 miles away and his kids are.
Right.
And the temptation is pretty great. I'm telling you, if for no other reason than that, we ought to be praying for our leaders.
That's right.
Because when they compromise, it affects many thousands of others.
Yeah. And we are always together in the Capitol just modeling marriage. And I think the sermon that's spoken by us being together is strong because we walk about 10 miles a day during session each day, just handing out our Bible study notes, going to our appointments with the legislators and ministering to them.
Man, our time is getting away. Talk about the prayer caucus. We had Representative Forbes from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Here we did a program with him, but that is something wonderful. Explain it.
It is. Between first and second votes, when they come back for First Votes Back Monday or Tuesday night, Randy Forbes has a prayer caucus between the first and the second votes where they just get together and they start their week beseeching the Lord, which I think is just so important. And then directly after that second vote or third vote, they can come up and have dinner with us and have Bible study. And it really does attract the member that really is serious about their faith.
And there are, what, 65, 70 members of this prayer caucus? Mm-hmm. They're all congressmen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And one unforeseen blessing that I want to go back to about the marriages is that one thing that Ralph and I were committed to is that we said if we're going to be up there as a couple, we're going to invite all the spouses of these members.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what that would mean to them. We're getting oodles of them out.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming out and they're saying to us, we've been on the Hill for years, and we're not invited to anything.
That's right.
And they are some of our most committed. They bring, they'll drag their husbands in, and it's a real blessing that we never saw happening. But back to that point, that was really exciting.
Mm-hmm. So there are many spouses that do live in Washington,
driving
especially
distance.
Where their kids mm-hmm. are grown.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And they come. They'll come out just for this. Just to be there with her husbands, to start their week before the Lord, which that's what the Lord's calling
us to do. Is there
a
great sense of fulfillment in what you're doing?
We love it.
All right. Time's getting away. Keep saying that. But let's give the name to. It's Capital Ministries. And we're going to have a link to that ministry through our website.
Mm-hmm. At myfamilytalk.com.
And Danielle, what can they receive by coming to your site?
We need prayer support. That's what we need. My husband spends 2 days writing these Bible study notes every week to teach the congressmen and senators. And it's something I'd love for them to be able to click on, and we can send the Bible study notes that he's teaching each week to the actual members, and they can be praying with us over those notes, that God would take those notes and just penetrate the hearts of these men and women as they vote on these issues. It's a call from the Lord in our hearts to be there 24/7 ministering to these members. And I believe Scripture's real clear about his love, his specific love for kings and those who are in authority, and that we are to be praying for these people.
And that gives us a chance to specifically be involved in the spiritual growth of our elected officials.
Exactly.
We know what they're hearing, and we can see this and specifically pray that the Lord will touch their hearts in the areas that you're preaching on. I love that.
Well, and it's a mandate, Ryan. This is not an option. I think of all of the scriptures, of course, the classic one, Doctor, you mentioned in 1 Timothy 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, congressmen, senators, and all those in authority. I mean, it's a mandate there. And I think of those other scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by not praying for you. I mean, this is a sober responsibility.
Luann, there's interestingly so many passages in the Word of God that relate to the specificity of reaching political leaders with the gospel. A matter of fact, in Acts 9:15, we know the road to Damascus experience. And in Paul's commissioning, of course, then he's called Saul, Jesus sends a surrogate named Ananias to communicate to Saul why he's been blinded. And he says, "Go, Ananias, for he, Saul, is a chosen instrument of mine to declare my glory before the house of Israel and kings and the Gentile nations." And we often miss that in a cursory devotional reading, that part of the Pauline calling was the Capital Commission. Within the Great Commission exists the Capital Commission. And you see Paul going in the book of Acts to all these cities. Why did he go to those cities? Because 9 of them are capital cities in the Roman Empire. And of the 9 conversions that are recorded personally by Paul in Acts, 7 of them are politically related people.
Wow. And he eventually demanded to be taken to Caesar as a Roman citizen.
Right.
Exactly.
And he got a chance to talk, apparently, directly to Caesar.
That's right. And we don't see in history that Caesar repented, but we do see in Philippians 4:22, Paul says to the church at Philippi from his prison epistle in Rome, he says, "All the brethren of Caesar's household greet you." So there's evidence that he was there doing the work of an evangelist right inside the Praetorian. And of course, chapter 1 of Philippians says he's chained the Praetorian and he's preaching to them.
Wow. And the bottom line is that we in this country desperately need prayer and godly leadership, maybe now more than any other time.
We need a movement for Christ on Capitol Hill, and we need all your listeners to be a part of that, because we see that God is fueling that right now, right now.
Ralph, you playing basketball these days?
No, my knees are kind of shot, Dr. But I bet I could still block your hook shot.
Everybody can block my hook shot. It's so good having you with us.
Thank you.
And I love you guys and appreciate your flying here to be with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
God bless you.
Thanks for having us.
And again, we'll have links to Capital Ministries at myfamilytalk.com. So you can get copies of these Bible study notes, which the Drollingers use on Capitol Hill, and learn more about what they do.
And if you're going to plan on praying over those notes and for your legislators, would you let us know how you plan on doing it? These notes really are detailed, and it shows how much thought the Drollingers put into it. You can connect with us at myfamilytalk.com, either through email or by clicking onto our Facebook fan page.
And of course, Ryan, folks can always get a hold of us at our phone number, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825, or of course, drop us a note in the mail. Our mailing address, 540 Elkton Drive, that's 540 Elkton Drive, Suite 201, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80907.
We also have something for you from Family Talk. Call us today at 877-732-6825 or go to myfamilytalk.com to receive a complimentary copy of today's broadcast. We can even send two copies, one for you and one to pass along. We want everybody to hear this message.
It would be our pleasure. Thanks so much for listening, and join us next time for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.